There's been an enormous number of news items just lately, which some people, even in the church, will find quite disturbing. That is despite the fact that we all know or have a pretty good idea of what the future holds for us. We may not have seen the picture, but we have all, or very nearly all of us, have read the book. During the days of the first apostles, the church expected that our Saviour would return to this earth at almost any time. And today, this sort of feeling of imminent expectation is again beginning to permeate throughout the whole of the church at this time. This expectation is being rekindled in us. Now, everything appears to be falling into place. There are wars and rumours of wars. There's false religion. There are disease epidemics threatened and forecast. And now, with the escalating production of the biofuel ethanol, there is the looming spectre of hunger and vast areas of the world becoming almost a reality. We also see the growing prosperity of many people in India and China, and that is giving them a greater appetite for the food that we enjoy in the West. And at the present time, the agricultural productivity of the earth has been put to a great deal of strain to meet those demands. And it will have a great effect on the availability of and the price of food on the supermarket shelves here in the West. Now, there was also a news item on the church website just a few days ago about the EU Constitution. And we began to realise just how dishonest the politicians of today really are, and how many people begin to feel that they have absolutely no control over their destiny in any shape or form. But we all need to put this into some form of perspective. And on page 122 of Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong wrote the following: "Understand this point, which has been a mystery to the world. When he closed off the tree of life, he closed off redemption and salvation to mankind for 6,000 years, until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, after 6,000 years, should return to the earth in supreme power and glory to unseat Satan from his throne and to rule all nations of mankind." Then on page 143, "God set apart a 7,000-year period to complete his original supreme purpose of reproducing himself through man. It was a masterminded master plan for working out the purpose here below. For almost 6,000 years, a civilization has developed, which we call the world." So from these excerpts, we come to a conclusion that time must be in short supply. Satan has been allowed to remain on his throne here on the earth for 6,000 years, and the present civilization that we see around us has developed over the course of almost 6,000 years. So very little time is left. So today, in the time which is available, I want to bring to our attention a cast iron, bankable promise that was given to us to help us strive towards the wonderful goal that's being set before us. Because without the knowledge of this wonderful promise, we will lose our ability to soldier on, and we will lose our ability not to yield. I'd like you to turn with me, please, now to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Now, this is a scripture that we've all heard many, many times. This truism was recorded centuries ago as an observation on human conduct. We only have to look around at society in general to see that the vast majority of people of all ages and from every strata of society have absolutely no idea of what is going on. They experience, along with many of God's people, job insecurity, increasing costs of the basic necessities, and the result is a nation that is throwing everything to the wind. And here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, we read the following: "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." Now, without vision, people will fail. There is no will to strive for something that, to them, is too uncertain. But we in God's church do have a vision. It is one of hope, a vision that will one day involve the whole of mankind. We know and have seen in our mind's eye a tranquil world where everyone has their own patch of land, where they can work and relax and enjoy a lifestyle that many today would put down as sheer paradise, too wonderful to be expected. And yet, here it is, a picture of paradise on earth, every man and woman under their own fig tree, on their own land. And I'd like you to turn with me, please, now to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Those who keep the law do not cast off restraint, as we saw in the last scripture. Those that have faith will strive to overcome, and they will not easily yield. Indeed, if they truly believe, they will not yield at all, but they will look to their God for the strength that is needed. And here in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, we read the following. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here, as this scripture states, is the patience of the saints, keeping the commandments and having faith. Not a faith that is worked up in some ritualistic gathering, but a faith that is earnestly requested each day. It is a gift from God. Obedience has to be a way of life. So does faithfulness. Now I'd like you to turn back with me now to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And here we find the cast iron promise which is stated for us. It is bankable, it is cast iron, it is unshakable. We have not cast off restraint. We do try to live by the word of God, and we do have a degree of faith in that we do believe the teaching and we do believe the prophecies. So no matter what the immediate future may hold, we can all look to these words penned by the Apostle Paul and in a slightly different way by Moses in scriptures centuries earlier. Here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we read the following. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That promise is absolutely dependable. The only ifs and buts relate to our way of life. Do we look to the future in such a way that the picture of the wonderful world tomorrow is firmly emblazoned on our minds? Are we obedient? Do we come before God each day asking for the faith of Jesus Christ? I wish that I could say yes to each of these points each and every day. Each day we must look beyond the here and now to see where all these things are leading. Keep the future firmly in mind. Keep that picture that we have been given in our mind's eye. As a song says, it won't be long now. For several years, as many who know me will testify, I have been saying it will only be 5 years. One day I'll be right. I may even be right today, and I do hope that I am. In Antarctica, there is a memorial to 5 men of the British Antarctic Expedition of 1911, in which Captain Robert Falcon Scott and four of his companions died. The memorial was erected at the last campsite that Captain Scott founded. It was less than a dozen miles from home and safety. That memorial was made of wood, and it was rather crudely made, and on it was written, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield. We in God's church have a promise that is repeated more than once in the pages of Scripture, to the effect that our Creator says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That should give us all the courage and patience to keep battling away towards the goal of the coming paradise here on this earth, when our Saviour will have returned to set up the kingdom here on this earth. If we lose this vision, we will cease to strive, we will cease to seek, and we will cease to find, and we will yield. And on page 156 of Mr. Armstrong's book, The Mystery of the Ages, we read the following words. Humanity was created on earth for a glorious and wonderful purpose. God was reproducing himself. Stated another way, God's purpose was to create humanity to become supremely happy and joyful, in peace and in perfect comfort, to become productive, creative, joyfully successful with eternal life. This meant the supreme, perfect spiritual character of God, perfect utopia. This purpose shall be accomplished. The book ends with the words, "We come finally to the beginning." That is what we have to look forward to. And in the process of going there, we have to be strong and very courageous, because we have the unshakable promise of God before us, who says, "I will never leave you or forsake you."